If I told you about her, the princess without voice, what would I say?
Eliza, come on. Eliza, hurry, hurry.
She deaf?
Mute, sir. She can hear you.
You clean that lab, you get out.
This may very well be the most sensitive asset ever to be housed in this facility.
You may think that thing looks human. Stands on two legs, right? But we're created in the Lord's image. You don't think that's what the Lord looks like, do you?
This creature is intelligent. Capable of language, of understanding emotions.
When he looks at me, he does not know how I am incomplete. He sees me as I am.
J'avoue, je n'ai bavé pas vous. Mon amour, avant d'avoir eu vent de vous.
The natives in the Amazon worshiped him like a god.
Get him out. What are you talking about? No.
We need to take it apart, learn how it works.
I don't want an intricate, beautiful thing destroyed.
We can do nothing. I'm sorry.
Don't do this, Eliza.
What is she saying?
Don't do this.
Oh, God, it's not even human.
If I told you about her, what would I say? I wonder.
It's day 27 of Movie Month. Yes, it's my fifth annual Movie Month, in which 30 days I watch 30 movies and do 30 podcasts like this one right here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday night. Happy June 27th. 27th of June, 27th day of movie month. And today, I watched a movie where a scientist helped two humans save a fish-like creature from being dissected by the government.
All my life, I've been waiting for someone. And when I find her, she's a fish. Nobody said love's perfect.
No, it wasn't 1984 Splash. No, no, no. Today I watched the Best Picture from 2017, the Academy Award winner for the Best Picture, The Shape of Water by Guillermo del Toro. Yes, I thought that was pretty clever because it did remind me a little bit of Splash, except with more nudity and more swearing and much more violence. This movie, I know a lot of people thought it was dumb. And a lot of people thought it was great, and I happened to fall in the side of it being great. Surprise, surprise, but I loved the Guillermo del Toro movie. This reminded me of almost like in the same vein as a Tim Burton's Edward Scissorhands, where, you know, it was weird. It was had some just like out there moments. It was very fantastical. Very in a hyper-realistic world of fantasticism. It was a modern fairy tale come to life. That's what I, like, this could, you could see this as a fantasy book. I know there was some story out there where they say Guillermo del Toro, you know, copy this from another, from a story. But I, as far as I saw, that was proven, not true. I don't care. This, I was saying you could see this as a kind of, I just took a graphic novel out of the library. It's going to look like I'm reading a hardcover book, but it, if you open it, it's pictures where a fisherman picks up a mermaid, and I'm like, hey, I feel like I'm kind of in the same theme of things. That's what this felt like, a very fantastical fantasy book. Could have been a children's book if it was done differently. I just really dug it. Yes, it was different than what I expected. I wasn't expecting as much nudity, okay? Because I have to say, I went in, even though I'm on vacation, these 2 days I went into MIT for a conference on Drupal, which is a software I need to learn. So I took the train into Boston, and I watched this, started watching it on the tablet on the train, and really the first scene, there's nudity, and I'm like, whoa, it's a little graphic. I was like, oh, I gotta make sure no one's, you know, looking at me over my shoulder with this. But there was more violence and more swing. I didn't realize this movie was rated R. But it's like, take Edward Scissorhands, add swearing, add violence, add sex with fish creatures, and, you know, there you have The Shape of Water. It's hard to explain. Like, it's hard for me to – I just finished it. I want to talk a little bit about the acting in it. The acting in it was top-notch, I'll say. So Sally Hawkins, I believe, is the main actress's name. I did not know I knew her. Like, I've seen her in Paddington. I've seen her in other things. But she was very good as the main character who was mute. You know, she was just, her facial expressions, emoted enough. Octavia Spencer plays her, co-worker and really good friend. She's always good. She played the kind of, the voice of Elisa, in many instances. She was always looking out for her, and she really was like, played a strong woman who kind of at one point really had to stand up to her husband, even though she couldn't. She tried to stand up. Actually, she could stand up to Michael Shannon. If you need a dude to play someone who is intimidating, creepy, and just like kick-ass actor, you get Michael Shannon. He was Zod in Man of Steel. He played this very similar type character in Boardwalk Empire, where he was religious and thought he was being on the right side of God, but he was also super creepy. I mean, the dude, like, there was a weird scene where he like has sex with his wife and he covers her mouth, and I thought at one point he was being like abusive, you know, bossy, like, I don't want to hear from you. Then I realized he was doing that because he wanted to picture him with Elisa, who is mute. He plays such a cretin creep. I think it was last year I saw him in Midnight Special. He played the dad of a kid with special powers. And I think that was the one movie I've seen him in a while where he wasn't a creep. But in this, he is the ultimate creep, and he's awesome. And Richard Jenkins, who is like just awesome in everything he does. He was the, you know, I think one of the first time I remember seeing him was as the shrink in Something About Mary. He is hilarious as John C. Reilly's dad and stepfathers. And he's just a great actor in many different things. And this, he plays Elisa's neighbor and like her also best friend. He has some character arcs of himself that he goes through with his work and with relationships, but he realizes that the most important thing in his life is Elisa, who is always there for him. So he helps her break this fish man out of the government prison. Now, I mentioned a scientist that helped Octavia Spencer and Elisa, who I can't think of her name right now. They helped, you know, the two humans help the fish man escape. That guy was Michael Stuhlbarg, who I would never know his name, but I know his face because he's been in so many things. He was in Boardwalk Empire. He was in a Coen Brothers movie. He is just one of those guys that you know his face, and he was just a terrific character because he was the scientist who cared about this creature, but he also happened to be a Soviet spy who was supposed to study this creature for the Soviets, steal this creature for the Soviets, get all the information for the Soviets, and then when they found out they couldn't do anything about it, he was going to kill this creature for the Soviets. But he didn't do that. He helped them. He wanted this creature to live, so he helped him escape. And in the long run, he ended up failing for the Soviets. So they attempt to kill him. They don't kill him. Michael Shannon ends up killing him, but not before he gives up who took the merman. And that ends with a big final scene where the fish man is shot, but then he comes back to life, and then he saves Sally Hawkins, or Sally Jenkins, I forget what her name is, and they jump down in the water, just like Tom Hanks and Madison jumped in the water. He breathes life into her, and assuming they live happily ever after. So Doug Jones is the guy who plays the fish man. Now, Doug Jones is like, plays a bunch of different creatures. He's played creatures for Guillermo del Toro and other movies. If you watch Face Off on Sci-Fi, sometimes he's a guest on that. He's like this very emotive, like, looking guy with a very, like, thin, long neck. You can just see he's really, like, he's just a great physical actor. And I don't know how much of this was practical effects, how much was digital effects, but I don't know. I like fantasy stuff. I like fairy tale stuff. So if anyone thought this was sappy or stupid or weird, you know, just you have a cold, black, dark heart, and you know, you need to enjoy things more, because it was sappy, it was weird, it was beautiful, it was awesome, it was everything. It was unrealistic, and who cares? Because it was just great. I'm glad it won Best Picture. Because Guillermo del Toro is a storyteller, is a visual genius. Just the thing I like about his movies, and I haven't seen them all. I feel like I need to go back and see Pan's Labyrinth. I definitely need to go back and see that. But I've seen most of, if not everything else, I think. And he is very... Everything looks real to me. Like, nothing looks overly digital. I don't know. I remember in Hellboy 2, just the effects felt like they were right there. Maybe they were. Maybe he's into practical effects. I don't know. And then was it last year? Was the Crimson Peak? I watched that, I think, last year or 2 years ago, which was just like a ghost story. But it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. Ooh, I just kicked something. I'm out on the back deck. It's raining. And tomorrow I'm going back to MIT for another day of this conference. Then I'll watch another movie on the train. I don't think there'll be any human/amphibian monster... you know, coitus, but you never know. I don't know what's this. I don't even know what movie I'm watching yet. I have 3 days left. I am going to be traveling on one of those days. I'm going to be away from home on one of those days. And then tomorrow is the third day. I have two movies picked out that I'm ready to watch on those 2 days, but I don't have tomorrow's movie picked out. So I'm going to be looking around for a movie. It's wide open tomorrow. I might have one. I don't know. I've got to look through, see what's in my collection, see if I need to rent something, see if I need to download something from Netflix. But tomorrow's wide open. But today, got to see the Best Picture, according to the Academy, The Shape of Water. And also, at one point, so, I mean, I'm spoiling this movie. I really don't care. But he goes up, and in a very satisfying moment, he slashes Michael Shannon's neck. And he's... right before he does that, Michael Shannon's like, "You are a god." I wonder if that's true. Like, I wonder if that was the point. Like, this guy is a god of like, some culture. Cause that's what they said they found him right in South America, and the natives, they were savages. They were like, but they were treating him like a god. Maybe he was, cause he obviously has healing powers. He has the ability to make hair grow. He can make you breathe underwater. So they had those scars on her neck. And right when he touched them, I thought, oh, those are turning into gills. I didn't pick that up earlier. I should have, but I didn't. I like to read the trivia on this now on Internet Movie Database. But that's it. I'm going to go do a little... I don't do any research really before or after watching the movie, before I podcast. I'll go read about it now. But this is really just my initial thoughts, my instant reaction of the movie, which I thought was just a beautiful, weird, fantastical fairy tale love story with some cool effects, some super weird moments. It's just a nice dancing moment where you're seeing a fish man do a dance in black and white. It's ridiculous. Awesome. That's Guillermo del Toro. He's also, Pappy McPoyle on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Don't forget that. It's one of his greatest roles. Director, writer, Pappy McPoyle. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it from me. And until tomorrow, I'd like to remind you that you can find me on Instagram at Geek Mentality. You can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality. The website is fans.experts.com. The Facebook is facebook.com/fans.experts. And on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts, search Geek Mentality. You'll find us. And by us, I mean me. Or just go to fans.experts.com. Everything is there. It's raining out and my phone is getting wet, so I'm heading in right now to get this all up online for you, the loyal listener. Thank you again. There's no way you're listening to this, Chris, are you? Are you out there, Chris? I know Dave's out there. Maybe Paul? Maybe my brother? Who knows? Anyway, thanks for listening. If you're out there, thank you. And until next time, until tomorrow, which I don't even know what it's going to be, but until then, here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.